Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Grant us, Lord, not to be anxious about earthly things, but to love things heavenly. And even now, while we are placed among things that are passing away, to hold fast to those that shall endure. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Exodus. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained about Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them, whether they will follow my instruction or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather on other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your complaining against the Lord. For what are we that you complain against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and your fill of bread in the morning, because the Lord has heard the complaining that you utter against him, what are we? Your complaining is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, 'Draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining.'" And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, "I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat." The word of the Lord.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Philippians. For to me, living in Christ and dying is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which I prefer. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you. Since I am concerned of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in faith, so that I may share abundantly in your boasting in Christ Jesus when I come to you again. Only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel, and are in no way intimidated by your opponents. For them, this is evidence of their destruction, but of your salvation. And this is God's doing. For he has graciously granted you the privilege not only of believing in Christ, but of suffering for him as well. Since you are having the same struggle that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' And he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree? with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. The Gospel of the Lord.
In our country today, the right of the individual takes precedence over the collective or common good. We see it in our court systems and the decisions made there. Often we see community decisions made in favor of a few rather than the majority. We have created a sense of entitlement in this country that is out of control. Outlandish demands and expectations abound, and resentments drive unbelievable lawsuits and outcomes. I believe at the heart of the problem is the fact that we have not done for our neighbors as perhaps we should. Our government has taken on much of that work, and as we know, the government is not always very efficient or effective. It certainly is not compassionate. The accumulation of money, power, privilege, and rank are the underpinnings of secularism. Global greed and profit-taking are the order of the day. And while the smart manipulators celebrate their cleverness, the rest of us are wondering when all of this madness will end. For many, here and abroad, these are desperate times. And to many of us, life just doesn't seem fair anymore. The gospel for today, this parable found only in Matthew, does not seem fair. A landowner hires laborers throughout the day and at the end of the day pays all of them the same wage, beginning with those who had worked only for 1 hour. Seeing this, those who had worked longer expected to be paid more accordingly. The disgruntled workers confronted the landowner, pointing out that they had toiled for 12 hours in the scorching heat. It was unfair that they should receive the same pay as those who had only worked for 1 hour. The landowner reminded them that he had paid them exactly what they had agreed upon earlier in the day, and so they should take their pay and go. Then the landowner asked, "Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" What is Jesus telling the disciples and us in this parable? Jesus seems to be saying that the God's kingdom is the opposite of what we might normally expect in terms of rewards. The good news is that our loving God is free to be extravagantly generous, giving us more than we deserve or even that we can imagine. This parable is also a warning about pride and a sense of entitlement. Divine grace denies worldly assumptions of privilege and rank. In short, we are to see that the needs of all are met, no matter their circumstances. Moreover, God's generosity when it comes to eternal life is such that one person is never given less than another. This treasure cannot be earned by a full day's work, nor a lifetime of service. Indeed, it cannot be bought at all, but it can be given. Even to one who's turning to God has come so late in life that little opportunity or service remains. The reward is always the experience of God and eternal life. All of the laborers in God's vineyard receive the same reward. For in the kingdom of heaven, there is no favoritism. Jesus ends this parable with these words: "So the last will be first, and the first will be last." This is not the only time or the first time we have heard this warning. It does not matter whether we are a lifelong disciple or we find Christ at the end of our journey. God's rules of giving turn everything upside down. And if the first do not take care, they may end up last. Jesus pointedly warns those of us who have riches and privilege that to abuse those gifts will make it hard for us to enter the kingdom of God. However, he did not say that because we are rich or privileged that we are going straight to hell. But those of us in flowing robes and fancy academic hoods had better be parading about for the greater glory of God and not for our own egos. The smart and knowledgeable have best be judicious in how they use their skills and learning. And the rich must be ever vigilant how they share their riches. It seems to me that it comes down to a matter of attitudes and intentions. For example, in the giving of our time, talents, and wealth, are we compassionate and joyful? Do our children see us pick up a hammer cheerfully to help build a house for Habitat for Humanity? Or do they see something else? Do we tithe out of compassion and concern? Or is it something we are merely obligated to do? Is charitable giving a good tax write-off? Or do we really care about those we are trying to help? This parable should leave us a little off balance. Who is this God? What is in this God's head that produces such actions, inviting everyone without regard to merit to full participation in the kingdom of God? The Jesus that the Gospels portray is, above all, a compassionate man who loves unconditionally and sacrifices his all for others. God, the Gospels would have us live as Jesus lived. There is no trap or double bind for the rich and the privileged here, so that God can condemn them for failing. God calls each of us, regardless of our stature or place, into the wholeness of our being. Our God is a trustworthy and reliable one, but also one whose freedom to be generous cannot be reduced or constrained. The parables say, "Do not get too comfortable. The God of the vineyard is a God who acts in strange and disturbing ways, a God who keeps us just a little off balance, a God who, above all, we should never take for granted. Amen. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. The Father and the Son he has worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Father, we pray for all those who are sick, lonely, hungry, or in pain. Comfort and give strength to all who suffer. I invite you to speak their names. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless this cathedral, that we may serve you here in the heart of downtown Jacksonville. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Watch over this city, that they may be an end to poverty and homelessness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bring peace to our broken world, that there may be a greater understanding among races and people. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Help us to care for the health, for the earth as your creation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We ask you to bless all who have died and comfort those who mourn for them. I invite you to speak their name. We pray especially for Barbara Craig, William Paul, and Clarissa Jones. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Let us give thanks to God for all the blessings of this life. I invite you to name your blessings aloud.
Almighty and eternal God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us. we may delight in your will, your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Good morning, all. Welcome to St. John's Cathedral. We welcome all of our visitors, and we would ask that you make yourself known to us by filling out a pew card that you should find right there within reach. If you come to the font, if you're a visitor and you come to the font after the service, there will be a gift bag for you and some information about the cathedral. Also, we have tours of the cathedral, and you're welcome to take that tour of this beautiful space that we have here. Kate is in England. At least she's on her way. She left early this morning. She will be at the Compass Rose Society meeting there, which will, of course, will be meeting with the Archbishop of Canterbury. And I know that she's looking forward to that. Please make plans to attend a Rule of Life workshop. Those dates are in the bulletin. There are a number of those presentations being offered, and please take advantage of that. The pictorial directories are in, and they are available for pickup in Tolliver Hall at the end of this service. Monica has them there set out for you. If you have trouble with getting a bulletin, or excuse me, getting one of these booklets, please let us know. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and make good your vows to the Most High. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For you are a generous God, full of grace. You call each of us as laborers in your vineyard and give to all a full measure of reward gained for us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love you made us for yourself, and when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, the perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. God be your comfort and strength. God be your hope and support. God be your light and your way. And the blessing of God, the Creator, Redeemer, and Giver of life, remain with you now and forever. Amen.
Let us go forth into the world rejoicing in the power of the Spirit.
Amen.